This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at orderzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. We're talking about a new documentary about, uncomfortable truths around the HPV vaccine. The HPV vaccine is being advocated as a compulsory vaccine, but there are some concerns, and this documentary looks at them. With us today is Rob Verkerk. He's from the Alliance for Natural Health. I'm on the board of the Alliance for Natural Health in the United States. He's based in the United Kingdom, where he heads up ANH International. And Tim Rhyme, who is the producer-director of the documentary, which is called, for the record?
It's called Manufactured Crisis, HPV Hype and Horror.
And, you know, you are a real wonderful filmmaker. Is this your first documentary?
Yeah, I'm just a schmuck who got on a plane with a couple of cameras and and a story to tell. And it's our first effort of this length.
But as the credits roll, you will be like producer, director, animator, sound guy.
It's one of the joys of working for a nonprofit. You do things on a budget and you figure out how to get things done. It was a really great experience. It was eye-opening in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, I learned a lot about the craft of making a film, but more importantly, I learned about how this whole industry is able to manipulate mm-hmm. governments and institutions of power in ways that I would have thought would be inconceivable before.
Well, let's talk about that, because are there vested interests promoting the vaccine? Are they active, for example, in urging legislators to pass laws that require compulsory vaccination? You know, I sell vitamins, and I'm open about it, full disclosure. I'd like to pass laws that people buy my vitamins. I'd like to influence some legislators, and perhaps we could get a campaign that they buy my vitamin D. I think that would really improve people's health overall.
Obviously, it's all of the above. And I think we have to, you know, take a reality check as well, that's the way it's always been. And frankly, if you are a company and you believe you have a cancer solution and you believe it's entirely safe and it's entirely effective, why shouldn't you be banging at the door of government and say, guys, we want to get this out here? Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's being sold. And, you know, I think this is why, and I should at this point just say, I am staggered what Tim has achieved as a first-time filmmaker. It's the passion that he has for the issues, and I think that is driven by being a parent.
It really kind of unfolds like a detective story, you know, and that's the way that it's
My brother is an award-winning international documentary filmmaker, so, you know, I've had 30 years of seeing what is involved with a huge team of people. Mm-hmm. Seeing what Tim has pulled off largely on his own, through passion and dedication is really quite extraordinary. So, but it's, yes, I think the big issue here is how it is then sold to governments. And, you know, we have to accept the idea of the herd immunity. We have to ignore the fact that there is no such thing as natural immunity, despite the fact we have all the data that shows that if someone has even the high-risk variants, HPV 16 and 18, the normal course of events is that the body's immune system within 1 to 2 years eradicates it. Mm-hmm. But young girls who are being vaccinated are not told that. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh my God, if you get this thing, you're definitely going to get cancer. Mm-hmm. They should be reminded that it is a problem that is occurring in parts of the world where there is no screening, because it just gets out of control. There is something you can do if you engage in screening and early detection and early treatment the technology is available, particularly in the industrialized countries. And that information is not being provided. And that really is the concern. So the bottom line is people are being misled. And that really is what this film is about.
And one of the interesting things to me, as I was going through this process, was learning how this vaccine was actually approved. You know, that it was discovered by NIH and licensed to Merck and GlaxoSmithKline. And it was fast-tracked, which is an interesting thing to fast-track the approval of a drug or a vaccine in this case. Typically, those kinds of drugs have to meet two criteria. This meets neither of those criteria. There is no public health threat that you can point at and say that this is ravaging populations, which is typically, you know, one of the criteria that you need in order to fast track this to market. This was fast track to market, right. And I have heard no credible rationale for why this could be fast track to market. It's just shocking to me.
Yeah. There isn't one.
You know, I'm involved in this documentary. You came and interviewed me, and you know, I actually kind of thought long and hard about getting involved in this documentary because this is such a hot button issue. This is a real third rail kind of issue, where people involved in the documentary, physicians who come forward, and many courageous scientists and physicians stated their concerns in a balanced kind of way. They didn't say they were inalterably opposed to vaccines, but even stating a concern about a vaccine can get you labeled an anti-vaxxer. And I see sometimes, you know, even when I post, you know, some relevant information about vaccines on Facebook, you know, you go down the thread, and pretty soon there's a lot of yelling about anti-vaxxers and do you want children to die? And, you know, some really heated rhetoric. Why do you think that is? What's going on?
We actually take quite a bit of time addressing this issue in the film because you're absolutely right. And I think it's pretty universal. It happens. It's very rampant in America. I think it happens in Europe as well.
In Australia, it's even more rampant.
Yeah. So this is a phenomenon all over the world. One of the a few years ago, a good example of how this happens. Katie Couric was hosting the Today Show at the time, and she decided she was going to have a forum on these concerns about the HPV vaccine. And she got lambasted. I mean, absolutely butchered in the press.
And it was really just to discuss it.
Yeah.
But to even shed some doubt, cast some aspersions on it, was not lockstep with the view that someone should take in the public arena.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, she had to step back from it. I mean, she was really pushed into a corner. You know, it creates this disincentive to have these conversations, to ask reasonable questions. I mean, you know, we're not coming at this saying, do not take this vaccine. We're coming at it saying, if you are going to take it, you should be informed. You should know what the risks are, know what the benefits are. And I guarantee that we're going to be attacked as anti-vaxxers for this, even though we're not.
And that is in the spirit of the Alliance for Natural Health, which is about health freedom and about allowing people to make choices about the kind of health care that they would want, you know, whether it's drug-oriented and vaccine-oriented or perhaps eschewing certain conventional therapies, not all of them, but when they're appropriate, you can use them, but making informed choices and also having access to treatments of our choice, having access to physicians who practice integrative medicine and naturopaths without government regulations that preclude their being in the field, and also access to supplements of our choice. And we're seeing some really serious inroads against supplement choice. And you can speak to that in Europe, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt that Europe probably has some of the most stringent legislation around supplements. There's also, a real issue that supplements, because of their delivery system, are viewed as directly competing against drugs. And there's a recognition that people who choose to take supplements are often doing it in place of drugs.
Goodness gracious.
So, of course, this is a really key issue when you look at what kind of options are available to a human being that wants to have a resilient immune system, for example. And again, this is from a public health point of view, we're moving into a world in which we are effectively handing control over to the state. And we have to understand that, you know, essentially the vaccine companies do have immunity. You know, in the late 1980s, around the world, there was a decision to essentially allow
product liability.
Yeah, from product liability.
It's like, so, like if you make a bad car, you know, the government doesn't hold you harmless from litigation.
Yes, exactly. And the kind of public messaging around it is that that was a sensible thing to do because there is a risk in anything you do. Mm-hmm. And because they are doing such a wonderful public health service,
for the sake of progress,
you know, we, the government, through the taxpayers' funding, should really cover their backs should there be some serious adverse events. So they can move through this whole process largely impervious of any liability.
It's a good business model. You know, it's kind of a loophole in our pharmaceutical model.
And of course, you know, In Europe, I think people have really reached a point where they're very concerned about how we're increasingly handing control over our lives in healthcare, in agriculture. We've just now seen the Bayer-Monsanto merger approved by the European Commission. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the unelected group of people that run the show over there.
But you seceded from that.
Well, exactly. The UK has. The UK has for sure. I'm a Dutch national. So, interesting, even in the last couple of days, the European Parliament, which is the somewhat weakened remnant of a democratic system in Europe, has basically turned around and said they are very, very concerned about handing over so much control to two companies. Between them and Syngenta, they will control, you know, a very large part of the entire global market for pesticides, for soya, for soybean, as you call it. And of course, this is the same thing when it comes to cervical cancer. Are we just going to hand over control to one company to go and vaccinate everyone? Or are we going to teach our children how to manage this and give them other options, how to build their immune system, how to reduce the risk of transmission, how to maintain health as they get older. And these are skills that will be lost if we don't actually teach our children about them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to ask, you want to add something?
I was just going to add, you know, we came at this from an international perspective, but I probably should reformulate that a bit, because we looked at essentially Western, the Western civilizations. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, because these vaccines aren't being taken in third world countries where they actually might be the right solution to the problem. In countries where there are no, where there isn't screening, where the healthcare system doesn't allow for that kind of thing, perhaps HPV vaccinating a large percentage of the population would really help reduce those risks. But there's no money to be made there, and I think that gets to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. If they want to ship these over and give them away for free to people who could actually use them, great. But that's not what's being done. And if you look at the cost to vaccinate the population, and look at what we're spending in terms of healthcare in this country and other Western countries, you know, we did an estimate that it costs about $70 million to vaccinate 100,000 girls. Mm-hmm. You extrapolate that over China and Japan and some of the countries where they're starting to make really large inroads in. I mean, this is a huge, huge market that we're looking at. And I don't think that you can just bury your head in the sand and ignore the financial incentive that promoting this vaccine provides for these companies.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's give one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this message with you. So here goes.
Do you want to manage your blood pressure without medication? I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or orderzona.com. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's offering you $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation, the Zona Plus, at orderzona.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to Tim and Rob on the subject of the HPV vaccine documentary. Do you feel that in trying to get the word out about this documentary that you're going to run into some resistance, that there's going to be some censorship, that there's going to be some pushback, it's going to become a controversial documentary?
Yes. I mean, I think there's no question. We see this play out over and over again. Anybody, anytime, you know, there was a great documentary that was done a couple years ago, Vaxxed. Robert De Niro mm-hmm. stepped up and tried to get it included. And it's for Tribeca, I think it was.
Are you going to try and enter into some film festivals?
We're going to try.
Only to have it withdrawn?
Yes.
because of pressure on...
I mean, I think we have realistic expectations because the reality of the marketplace right now is that the minute that you step up and you say something negative about any sort of vaccine, you're immediately going to be dismissed.
No chance of getting on 60 Minutes or Dr. Oz.
We'll keep trying. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, because you know that it is a controversy that I think is worthy of the public forum.
Yeah, I think that's another part of it is that we live in countries where we're ostensibly meant to support this idea of freedom of speech. It is a fundamental right. And the reality is that freedom of speech is not being allowed.
So
it is absolute censorship. And I think that alone, if we cannot have the discussion and the public cannot raise the questions they need to raise both with their health authorities and with their doctors and nurses, you know, very often the delivery system is a school nurse, you know. And what we've found is that those nurses are not in a position, they're not given the information that they need to be able to answer intelligent questions from people at the point of vaccination, let alone through the parental consent process.
On another issue, you know, as a scientist who's looked at vaccines in general, part of your overview of the research, do you feel that there's something to this notion about vaccine burden? You know, the notion that in the past we had a few basic vaccines, maybe three or four. When I was a kid, maybe they were half a dozen at most. We now have a series of vaccines, 15, 20 different vaccines for things like hepatitis, which may be an avoidable disease for, we know the risks for hepatitis. It's not something that you can catch, when somebody sneezes on the subway. Do you have a concern about
that? I have a real concern.
Effect?
Yeah, and of course it is a cumulative effect, not just of vaccines. We keep coming back to the science suggesting that the adjuvants are probably as much of a problem, if not more of a problem.
And
than
what
the
are
active
the adjuvants
ingredients.
For our listeners who are not?
Well, in this one, obviously, aluminum does appear to be the most significant adjuvant. And for example, if you look at the amounts, we've done some direct testing.
It stimulates the immune system.
Exactly. Right. It upregulates the immune system, so it increases the immunogenicity potential. And
which is good when you want the vaccine to take, but what can it do to a healthy person in general?
There's no doubt about it that aluminum plays with the nervous system, which is why it is so related to neurological conditions.
But just the very idea of stimulating your nervous, your immune system, I mean, we have so many autoimmune diseases these days where it's actually an over-exuberant immune system. Perhaps in some people who are predisposed to autoimmunity, this could be a trigger.
Well, and of course, our immune systems do like to be stimulated, but they like to be stimulated through the channels
naturally.
That the body has adapted.
In other words, not a synthetic stimulus.
Exactly. Yeah. And as soon as you decide to put a medicine directly into the bloodstream of an individual, you're doing something that we're not evolved to do. So, it's one of the reasons that there's very clear evidence that, that the what we still refer to as the hygiene hypothesis, allowing kids to play in the dirt and pick up bugs and challenge their immune system in those kind of ways, is pretty good for us.
That's why when I get a flu and I get, 102 temperature, I go, wow, this is great for my immune system. If I survive it.
Exactly. And in the old days, our grandparents, sometimes our parents, depending on how old we are, used to have chickenpox parties. It was a great way of allowing a disease agent to be shared. Mm. You'd get it. But it's quite different from putting it directly into the bloodstream. And, of course, the vaccines, not only do we have an issue of load, we also have a different kind of active ingredient that is mm-hmm. being used using DNA recombinant technologies to which we're really unclear. The uncertainty mm-hmm. is the big principle that we keep coming back to. On top of that, we've got a huge environmental chemical burden that we're dealing with. If you look at the number of registrations on the CAS registry that looks at every chemical that's been used, the number of industrial chemicals that have come into use just in the last 25 years, we've now topped over 1 million substances that are in common use, to which many of us are being exposed to. On top of that, we have EMFs, because we live in a wireless world in which everyone is being exposed. And then couple that with the fact that the things that we used to do that kept our bodies in check, for example, being physically active most of the time, eating whole foods rather than ultra-processed foods. So there's a whole range of things that are happening.
It's a perfect storm of adverse influences that may undermine our natural immunity.
Exactly. And another interesting point is that people, by and large, who are making decisions to avoid vaccines are often people who are using other measures.
A little more responsible.
Exactly. Yeah. And we don't have the data that we really need. Mm-hmm. There's a surprising paucity of absolute key studies looking at the long-term outcomes of vaccinated versus unvaccinated mm-hmm. populations. If we were going to be genuinely interested in doing the best thing for the public, those are the kind of studies that governments would be funding. But they're conspicuously absent.
We might do studies looking at the immunomodulatory effects of zinc or vitamin D or omega-3 fatty acids or any number, vitamin E, any number of things that might augment the body's defenses against this virus.
Interesting, at the height of the avian influenza pandemic risk in the late, it was 2007, mm-hmm. I was asked to look at a zinc product. Mm-hmm. And you know, the it was a U.S. scientist said, look, we want to look at a way of testing this, and I suggested they go to the very same laboratory that Tamiflu was tested in, where the licensing study was done, and
a virtually worthless drug.
Yeah, and we ran it alongside a zinc product, alongside, it was a bit of a special zinc product, I have to say, alongside Tamiflu, and it was the clear winner.
Okay.
And in fact, the laboratory then notified the NIH, and you know, they saw very clearly that it was better than that. Had there been a pandemic, they mm-hmm. had that on notice to be used. So, there are a huge number of things that people can do. By and large, things that are viewed as natural are viewed as sort of poor relatives of so-called modern medicine. And we have to understand where our body comes from, what things it's adapted to doing, and how we can actually support our bodies better than we're doing at the moment.
Well, bottom line, we want to get the word out about the a perspective on the HPV vaccine that's a balanced perspective. And that's what this documentary is about. I think it raises questions. I think it's well worth seeing for health-conscious individuals, for parents who are at the point of having to make a decision. And for young women who themselves are faced with a dilemma, is this something that they want to undertake? And once again, we're not taking a position. We're not taking an anti-vaccine position on this. Correct, Tim?
Absolutely correct. I mean, the one thing that I really hope people take away if they watch the film is that they have the right to ask questions, because they need to ask questions, because if they're not asking these questions, they're not going to be told. We've seen too many stories.
It's just a case study yep. of many aspects of medicine and life and health maintenance where we have to look behind the curtain a little bit.
Absolutely. And just because you have a question about the efficacy or the safety of a vaccine does not make you an anti-vaxxer. It could just make you a concerned parent, like I am. And like Rob is, and like you are, we all are. Anyway, sorry.
I do believe that the term anti-vaxxer has actually been coined very much by the so-called pro-vax movement. There are mm-hmm. a huge number of people that are labeled as anti-vaxxers who are actually vaccine choice
supporters. It's kind of like Holocaust denial. It's a buzzword, you know, and it's taken on that connotation.
Exactly. And the idea is that you can completely and utterly disqualify someone from having any valid arguments the minute that they have that label attached to them. Even in the integrative medicine world, for example, in places like Australia, and it just so happens the number two kind of HPV vaccine proponent, Dr. Suzanne Garland in Melbourne, happens to be there and has done a lot of the studies out there. But what has happened in Australia is that no one in the integrative medicine world can mention the V word. There is to be no discussion on vaccines.
Well, I want to thank you both. And once again, let's get the information on how people can view the documentary.
They can go to www.anh-usa.org, or they can go to hpvvaxfilm.com in the U.S. In Europe, they can go to hpvvaxfilm.eu.
It's well worth your time. I hope you'll check it out. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Rob Verkerk and Tim Ryan.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a real pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.